too much. We're glad to see you. We've got half an hour to do our internal business, so an hour, and then see the department on its program of establishing education opportunities in our facilities. That's the program for today. Next week, Wednesday, we don't see anybody, but we've asked Paul to come and talk to us about possible oversight visits. You know that we've been having an ongoing discussion about the lack of oversight visits, overseas oversight visits. And so we can use that. We'll consider the draft report for 2012 and adopt minutes, if there are some minutes outstanding. That's next week, so we're not seeing anybody. And then on the 9th, we're having a briefing by the inspecting judge on his annual report. That's the 9th of November. And a week later, we want to talk about DCS and its partnership with civil society. And we want to talk on vetting. On the 23rd is our our quarterly discussions with the department. A week later, hearings on the 30th of November, hearings on prevention or the prevalence of torture in our facilities. And the 7th of December, which we have put in as our last, DCS will come and talk to us on that matter. So the week before, it will be stakeholders of the 7th, DCS will come and talk to us around torture and the prevention or the management of that in our facilities. So that's roughly it, but we will give you that report, or we'll give you the proposal and we'll adopt it next week. I thought members should just know about that. For today, there are a few reports that I think we must just adopt. They've been distributed. I don't know that there's a lot of discussion unless there's questions that need to be asked. Mamlanda is here at least. We have a report on Bethel, a two-page, I think. Then we have a report on the opening of Kimberley. On the same day, there was an unannounced visit to Douglas Correctional Center and an unannounced to Kimberley Correctional Center. And then we've got 3 or 4 sets of minutes. Happy with that approach? Thank you very much. I don't know what order we have, but if we could deal with the report first and then get into the minutes. And in my document, the first one was the report on the opening of Tuelopele. Yeah, that's, no, give order. I'm saying, I just got that one. The two-page report, because we went as a committee, we had to write, although it was not an oversight, and we were invited, but we just had to do a little report, and Cindy has done that. It's really just what transpired there. Anybody wants to? Yes, Mr. Dow?
Chair, this is not for comment, and this is not for taking up in the report. But I went on this visit, and the Premier of the Northern Cape introduced the Minister of Correctional Services, Deputy Minister of Correctional Services, as a foremost cadre of the ANC and a member of its national working committee or something. At which point I strongly thought of getting up and leaving, because this was not actually an appropriate way to introduce the Deputy Minister, because he was there in a different capacity. I just wondered whether it would be possible sometime to give people some protocol notes about how to introduce people, because if we don't do that, then I'm going to start acting, because then it's going to be a political meeting.
I don't know if anybody wants to comment, but I agree. I think, and it wasn't our meeting, unfortunately, we were invitees, I think. But because some of us rub shoulders with the minister on a regular basis and the deputy minister, we'll raise it. I think it's correct. If we are invited as a committee, then surely it should be a government thing as opposed to a party thing. We will raise it. We will not be the organizers of it, but I think that's the point. Do we agree? Yeah, okay. Informally, we will talk to the minister and the deputy minister in the course of the next few days. I think Mr. Self, that point is taken. But other than that, Cindy's report, can we, as a committee, agree to the report? Or are there people that want to add to, subtract from the two pages? Anybody wants to comment, add to, or subtract from? We were really there as observers more than anything else. She talks about some of the problems that we ourselves have picked up on our own oversight resistance and so on. Mom?
Report on the visit to the opening.
An indication that it is. Thank you very much. And there's no order, I'm just taking them as I have them. Then there was an unannounced visit to Kimberley Correctional Center. Ms. F. Nyanda of the committee supported by Cindy went to the correctional center on the 8th of October. Ma'am Nyanda, I think you want to very briefly talk to us on that report, or if members have questions, because you were able to deal with them, but for 5 minutes or so, if you want to talk to the report, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson. After the opening of the center, myself and Cindy will remain behind because we had no flights. So I decided to say to Cindy, we can't just sit in the hotel and do nothing until tomorrow. Let's arrange that we must go and see the nearest centers around here. So we talked to the commissioner that can they assist us with transport. Fortunately, they allow us that we must go. So we went to this Douglas. When we arrived there, it was an unannounced visit.
There's one unannounced
Douglas. They are both. We started at Douglas.
Okay. Alright.
Well,
let's go to the Douglas one
then. Oh, the Douglas one.
Okay.
So, fortunately, the staff called the commissioner there that we are on our way coming. We were warmly welcomed. So, we went in with the commissioner. We introduced ourselves. So we told him that we are here unannounced because of some circumstances that we can't just sit in the hotel. So we were welcome. He took us inside the center. Really, I've never been to a center like Douglas. It's written outside excellent center. And when you go in, it is an excellent center. We went to the wards. And we met inmates, went to the bakery, went to hospital, you know, everything in the hospital, beds and mattresses were taken out for fresh air. They were busy cleaning the hospital. Chairperson, I can't go longer than that. It is an excellent center. Douglas. So we left that class on.
Let's conclude on that one. So any questions to Ma'am Nyanda or anybody on the Douglas report? Happiness? Thank you very much, Ma'am Nyanda. Thanks, Ma'am. You may continue.
Thank you, Chairperson. So we were deciding on our way going because we were told that one is no longer Kimberley Correctional Center. By the way, they say what? Pelapilu. That one is Pelapilu Center. So let's go to the old Kimberley Center. So we went to the old Kimberley Center. Unfortunately, the commissioner was not there. But they said, we can't just leave you people. We'll take you to do all the rounds inside. So we went in. Even that one, it's a center that cater inmates in a very good way. We went to the female ward. Children were playing. They had everything, as if it's a crash inside that center of the female. We talked to the ladies who were there. Most of them, it was just shoplifting. And the others, they are expecting babies. When I asked them, you came in being pregnant, yes, because I don't want problems. They said, yes, we came in being pregnant. I said, but sentences are not longer than 2 years. They will be out before they get birth. We went to male ward, juvenile. They don't have much juveniles there. There are very few. And the center is clean. Very clean. Thank you, Jefferson.
So you've got
no complaints about the two in a row.
Any comments from members?
Happy is Mam Gwenya.
Thank you, Jefferson. And thank you for the report. So my comments, Chair, I'd like to thank Mama Nyanda as our veteran for the energy that she was having, because I remember that it was hot on that day, but the work that they've done, we need to recommend it, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. It's just highlighted on page 3. The acknowledgements are for the new center, not for the old. We just changed it to the Kimberley Correctional Center. If you look at the very first sentence in the acknowledgements, the committee wishes to extend its gratitude to the management of Kimberley Correctional Center. That's a look. No rush. So that's the only change we will make. Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
I think it is very interesting to note that in both these centers, there is still room for inmates. There's no overcrowding.
We then have a report of the unannounced visit to Beto undertaken by Member Makagula and Mamnyanda. Members will recall we received a complaint from from Popkru about allegations of sexual harassment and all sorts of things. We did an unannounced visit. And Makagula and Nyanda, I'm not sure who is going to report on it, but we did distribute as much as we could last week to members around the Bethel report. We did receive, Mamnyanda, a 2-pager from you yesterday, but we had already distributed it. I looked at your report compared to the report that we received. There's no contradiction. It's very much the same. So I'm not sure between the two of you who wants to give us a report on that one. Anybody could, Makagula or Mamnyanda?
And then I recommend after.
Thank you, Chairperson. We went to Bethel. When we arrived in Bethel, we had a caucus with Popkru first, of which Makagula was sharing the meeting. So they introduced themselves, we introduced ourselves. My concern was that the document that we left with here in Cape Town to Bethel, in the opening of the discussion, was not there. So I raised a concern. I had the document. I asked everybody that, do you have this document sitting here? And then they all say yes. They took all the documents from their bags. So we started there. I said to them, we are sent here by our chairperson that we must come and interrogate this problem that we are having here in Bethel. In that meeting, we had two ladies. One was Mrs. Van Sail, one was Mrs. Makagula, who were part of that problem. One was Mrs. Mapanzei, one was Mrs. Makagula. But not the wife of Mrs. Makagula. not the wife of Mrs. Makagula. So the popcorn who were presenting the entire committee started telling us that they had problem with the commissioner. Actually, they went to talk to the commissioner concerning their issues in the center, and the commissioner said they don't have the right to talk to him. Yes, it's what he said. Then they left. They went out to talk together as a popcro that this issue of commissioner not wanting them to sit down and discuss an issue with them, it's not right. By that time, when they were talking to the commissioner, this Mrs. Van Sail was already discharged by Mr. Gila. When we were talking there, now here comes Mrs. Makagula, also says, me too, I'm part of the same problem that Mr. Gila was doing to Mrs. Mantel. Then he says, no, let's start it from fresh. Actually, I went through the document. The document was saying, Mr. Gila suspended 27 officials. They wanted to know why are these 27 officials being suspended. And there was no reason. He said he is still going to decide to explain to them. Then they raised a concern that we can't be waiting for you to decide as we are working here and you don't want to take our concern. The next thing that was complained, let me go through this. The next thing, the presentation was when I asked about this 27 officially, he was not there by then. The first one of the charges was Mrs. Lorraine Fansain. Her charge were using, she was using unauthorized PIN numbers of other members, of which Mr. Gila said he never authorized her to do that. And Mrs. Fanzeli was with us by then. Mr. Makagula raised a concern concerning this. Ask Mrs. Van Zyl. Mrs. Van Zyl, have you ever been in love with the commissioner? Mrs. Van Zyl said yes. From 2008 until 2011. All the instruction I was getting from the commissioner, even the private PIN code, PIN numbers of the other officials, I was instructed by the commissioner to do that. Mrs. Van Zyl said to us, I decided to go and tell Popcro that I'm having this problem because of Mr. Dina. And when Mr. Dina was called by Popcro, he refused. And Mrs. Van Zyl went back to Mr. Dina. Mr. Gina said to Mrs. Van Zyl, I never authorized you to do whatever you did. And I'm not going to protect you in any of these things. So, Lorraine pleaded guilty. I don't know where did she feel that guilty, because it was never said whether they said as a management or whatever. And after that, she was discharged. But Lorraine said to us, I'm starting this thing from Popcro, not from the commissioner. Lorraine said to us, I went to tell my husband that Gina has been using me, but I was afraid to tell you because he was my boss. But now I can't take it anymore, because now he's promising me to fire me. Then the husband said to Mrs. Van Zyl, I heard about their affair and the commissioner, but I was just quiet waiting for you to tell me. But now you're telling me now. I'm not taking anything concerning that. Lorraine was dismissed and excused from her duty, according to there were all those things that she had done. She was taking instructions from Mr. Dima. The investigation was put in place by Mr. Dima for this phonography photos. But Mr. Dima, Lorraine said it was the instruction from the senior. The computers were sent to Witbank and Middlebank. Different Lapo from the Whitbank and Cecilia from Middlebank. The other person who has been charged with this is Mrs. Makagula. Not this Makagula. Mrs. Makagula, it was planned that because Gina proposed her and she refused, he keep on doing the same thing and Mrs. Makagula refused. Then Mrs. Makagula then decided to go and tell the husband. The husband went to Popcro and talked to the Popcro members that Mr. Gina is doing this. Then after that, Mr. Gina decided to go and talk to some of the inmates that Mrs. Mazabula is bringing Daga inside the center. And inside the center, this inmate approached Mrs. Mazabula and tell her that Ms. Gina has come to me to trap you with Daga because I don't know your problem between you and Gina. Mrs. Magagula said it's because he's proposing me and I'm saying no. Magagula took the inmate with her to the one of the shop stewards. The shop steward, Mr. Mkacha, who then took inmates into the office of Mr. Mabena. Mabena, where the inmate was asked to write statement with his own handwriting, confirming of what transpired in that meeting between him and Mr. Gina. In return of favor, the head of the center, Gina, will transfer the inmate to another center and his sentence will be reduced by 6 months. According to the report brought forward in it, the inmate wrote the confirmation statement with regard to the allegation implicating Mrs. Magagula to bring Daga into the center in a week. The inmate was transferred, but here it's not saying clearly, but the report we got there, he was transferred to MLO. It is alleged that the charges brought against Mrs. Sanderson was because of the unwillingness of her, Mrs. Magagula, of not living with love. Was proposing to her. After she indicated that to Magagula, to Gina, that she will inform her husband if Gina continuing with his last proposal, the proper approached the head of center to deploy Mrs. Sanderson to another center. Because of unhealthy working relationship between Magagula, Gina and Sanderson. In another matter that Propo was not happy about, the question of the investigators who were tasked to do investigation to Bethel Correctional Center. Propo members indicated that the manner in which investigation was conducted was uncalled for. It was alleged that the investigators were abusive, aggressive, and harassing their members of people who were interviewed. Popo said that instead of interviewing and investigating, the investigator was always in the office of the head of the center, Mr. Gina. Popo believed that the investigators themselves, that is Cecilia and Lifan Tafo and Mr. Gina, people they only listen to Gina. Then, immediately that time when we get this report, Honorable Magagula asked Mr. Gina, what is the phone number of Lifan Tafo? He gave it to Magagula. Magagula wanted to know where are these computers. Popo registered a concern dissatisfaction of the area commissioner law about the manner in which processes of investigation were unfolding. Hence, the investigation were on hold until the DIU took over. Again, it is alleged that the DIU were talking to the head of the center. Continuing with what findings initially investigator, I did not start afresh with the investigation on the investigation of pornography material sent to either Ms. Van Zyl non-medic in a pro believe that independent investigators should take over the investigation, as they indicate that those were conducting investigator are Mr. Gina. When Makagula asked the commissioner the cell number, Makagula phoned there and there Mr. Ndlovu, asked him, where are the computers? And Ndlovu said, the computers are with me, yes. But Mr. Makabuka, Honorable Makabuka, didn't go back and tell Gina that the computers are the site. What surprised the corporal was that Lorraine Fante was the last one to be charged, but she was the first one to be called to disciplinary hearing. After that, I responded. Because Mrs. Fonseca, she was crying by then. She said, Mr. Gina, you abused me from 2008 to now, 7. My husband divorced me because of you. My father passed on in that period. Now you discharge me. Then I said to the committee, I feel very embarrassed because we, as members of parliament, and I said as member of ANC, it's got a freedom charter that says this place belongs to all of us. Republic belongs. But this one, just because she's a white lady, she must be treated like that. I walked out, Jefferson, I'm sorry to say that I couldn't sit any longer. It was myself crying, it was Mrs. Fantel crying, so I went out. I left Makapula, she ends up the meeting, I don't know how, because I was already out. Thank you, Jefferson.
She's already said a lot, Chair. The only thing here is that I'm surprised because I don't see my report here to adopt it also. I think... Okay. Yeah. Here is Mr. Gina, who's manipulating that center. He's using his authority very bad. I also write the funding in my report to Chairperson and the recommendations because we sit and recommend after that. He's abusing the center. He hasn't even in control of that center. One day he called the parade and all members just move away from him. Doesn't control the center. Obviously, even the head office, the regional office, doesn't take any necessary steps against him. I don't know, or they're afraid of him, or what, because what we know is not about the union here, it's about the person. And then the union is trying to defend that person. So there are two women, Mrs. Standerson and Mrs. Van Zyl. So Mrs. Standerson is married in Makakula, so it's called Makakula. So that man is abusing the center. He's abusing all that is in the center. And even threatening those women that if you don't do what I'm saying, you're going to lose your job. And you know what we did. We call all the members that they complain, including the union, including the complainant. And then we call him. We both sit in one room. And then they agreed in front of him that you sleep with me in the office 4 times. And he doesn't deny that. He didn't deny. So he kept quiet. But some other things that the other people were saying, if he still that notice, I didn't do it. He was saying, no, I didn't do this. And also Chairperson, that man is having an attitude. even when we come there. We were not welcomed. Actually, he tells even us that I'm aware that the portfolio committee is coming to fire me here. I say, by whom? Because I wasn't even know that the Petal Correctional Center, even with Mrs. Nyanda. But really, Chairperson, what I realized there is that this man is using his power, his authority very bad. He's using his authority very bad. And then we write the report. That report is with the recommendation. Because it's even after we keep on asking questions, he's even willing to move away from that center. Because he can't rule that center. Popular members are against him. Many women are against him. Even the inmates are against him. He manipulated even the inmate. Remember, that woman who denied to agree with him. He goes to the inmate. He said to the inmate, look, let's make this trap against the head. Say he brings the agree. The poor inmate agreed. He said that. And after, because of the conscience, after then the conscience was with her, was with him, he go back to the person. He said, no, look, they say I must trap to you. Saying you are praying the Khayyid. And it can, you didn't do that. So, only to find that the email has confessed, then the email was transferred to the other prison. So you see that man is manipulating everything. Even those people who come to make they said to come and to make the inquiry before they fire Mrs. Van Vick. You see that they were taking a side. They are with him. Because Mrs. Standardson, there was an allegation that she bring back. They say, come and sign here. Come and sign here. And then poor woman, because they are afraid, they think that this is the only word that I have. He come and sign. Sign wrongly. Only to find that the union doesn't have any power to him, because even the regional office doesn't take any control to him. He's just doing as to which even the people that make the investigation, seemingly to me, are very close to the center to the center east. So that is the problem, Chairperson. It's a serious concern, it's a serious problem. We write the recommendation, you are having everything. You send us, we get that thing. That is the same thing. I'm happy because even we didn't tell each other with Mrs. Nyanda, but I'm happy. When you check his report and my report, it's a little bit the same. Identity.
Thank you very much. Can I refer members to page 2 of the recommendation? We've got a report that was distributed by Cindy, and page 2. I don't want to go to the findings unless people want to query the findings and so on. I just thought let's deal with the recommendation and see if we agree or disagree. But yes, sir.
Chairperson, just a couple of technicalities on the report. Point 2, 3 on top, the pop crew is just spelled wrong, and 2.4. Okay, then can I comment on the recommendation?
Yes, sir.
Thanks. I've heard the inputs of the two honorable members, which I assume, in my view, is it was a fact-finding exercise and not a disciplinary hearing per se. And that brings me to point 3.2 of the recommendations, which I think it is ultra-virus. We are running ultra-virus here. And the reason why I'm saying it is that here is a demand that therefore she should be reinstated pending the outcome. I'm afraid that as political office bearers, we don't have the power to make such give such instructions. In terms of the labor law, there are certain processes which need to be followed. Here is a protest, whether justifiable or not, was done. The victim here, as well as the man, the employee, who was dismissed, got certain remedies to her disposal. Firstly, it is an internal appeal. Secondly, it is the SSSBC because they belong to a council, not to the CCMA, but to a council. So the recommendation should only say that the member or that the circumstances with regard to the dismissal should be investigated, and not particular saying that he should be right. That brings me to the, because it's the administrative function, our political functions stop at a particular level, and that is actually for the system to rectify it with management.
I think we're agreeing with you there, and nobody is saying anything different. Let's just look at it as we go.
Okay.
Have you got suggested wordings for these things?
I didn't, let me quickly share with 3-4 as well. That is also the same thing. We cannot say that, we cannot put that wording in to say it must be withdrawn. It should also, a request that it should be properly vetted the legitimacy and the justifiability of the allegations should be properly investigated, because we continue to say an independent, impartial at 3.5. So that is actually an acceptable approach to both those 2 points, which I actually referred to. Thanks.
So you're suggesting that we take out those points you've spoken to and we leave 3.4 for it to cover those things.
That's right.
Are we happy with that?
That's right.
3.5.
Yeah. The allegation should be conducted by impartial independent investigators, one of.
Yeah. We are suggesting, therefore, that 3.2, 3.4 be deleted because 3.5 covers it. That's your recommendation. Can we talk on that, Ms. Makagula?
Yes, Chair. First, I think also we had to know that no matter we make a recommendation, we would submit our recommendation to the department. And if there is something wrong with our recommendation, the department will come back and say, but you can't do this. But as the recommendation, because indeed, we did go there. So I don't see, because here, we are speaking about the man that is already losing job. And if we said, because of the poor thing, of the poor investigation, so if we just keep 3.4, you know what they go, it will be like this, as it is, but the investigation will go on. So what we were going there for actually is null and void. So, Chairperson, I said this recommendation, if we can go with it, and said this is the recommendation, we can even indicate that no, we recommend to the department these things, because in reality, we don't do anything. We are not working. We don't do anything. And if we are the politician, if there is anything for us to be advised, we'll be advised according to the thing that we did. So for me, there is no problem about all these recommendations. As long as go to the department and say, no, because we did that, this is our recommendation. And then we don't say, if you check, that is 3.5. It means we don't say the department should stop to investigate. The department will carry on to investigate and do whatever they'll see or they'll get it from there. But as we did, this is the funding and this is our recommendation. I thank you, Chair.
Can I suggest a halfway on that one? If we go to 3.2, if you go to point 3.2, Mr. Max, and we insert after therefore, 3.2, let me read what I'm suggesting. It is evident that the investigation which had led to official A's dismissal was not fairly instituted, and therefore, the committee is of the view that she should be reinstated. It's not instructing, it's our view.
Then, Chairperson, I'm jumping the gun. Then, Chairperson, I will support you because it covers 3.5. It covers 3.5. I think I understand why Mr. Maxwell said what he said, which I agree with him, because we can't instruct. But if you put those words, then it covers 3.5.
Further,
with regard to no instruction, if you take which one is it? 3.4. The first sentence up to withdrawn does not in any way indicate that the committee is instructing them to reinstate the official. It says that it should be done. In other words, it's a discretionary thing. I agree with Advocate Max that one has to take into account the Labor Relations Act and things like that. But over here, Chairperson, it is as a result of the various other recommendations that we come to this conclusion, for example, that all charges against Official B should be withdrawn. And there where we say, which one was that now, where we said that 3.3, for example, threats made to Official A should also be investigated internally, and appropriate action should be taken.
Yes.
It is not instructive, Chair. And I think that the compromise you have suggested should be brought in, but we should not do away with a recommendation which suggests, as a result of what we have found, we believe that these things should be done. You see, Chair, at issue here is that there is the future of certain individuals involved. Now, if they have been dismissed, I mean, they are family people. They have to put food on their table. And it is grossly unfair that something happens as a result of conduct which is in the form of vengeance. This Mr. Gina was actually, from what I have heard here and read here, act in a vengeful way. So, Chairperson, we must bear in mind that we have to do here with human beings. And as long as we don't prescribe, but that we express a view that as a result of what we have found, we believe that these things should be done. We are not saying must be done. That would be instructive. So I contend, Chair, that I'm sure that my learned friend, advocate, will agree with that, that this is in no way being prescriptive.
I think we all agree. It's just making sure that we don't get caught with our... So it's just about the wording, yes, sir?
Yeah. Chair, I understand my colleague's argument. But you must understand, I mean, this is my field of expertise. You must understand whatever we are saying and whatever mandate we are giving the department, even the National Commissioner, if there is a certain process followed, he doesn't have the power to reverse things unilaterally. So what I'm saying is we mustn't make a recommendation which cannot be executed by the department, and then we call the department and say, we made this recommendation, why didn't you follow those recommendations? So labor law is not like a court of law, a criminal court. There are certain processes. And I can safely claim I'm expert in this field. So your recommendation should be in line and not to compromise the National Commissioner. As long as we've got that understanding, we say, for instance, it is evident that the investigation which led to the Official A dismissal was not fairly instituted, and therefore the department should review the process followed to dismiss Official A. Words to that nature. Then there's not a thing, it must or should be reinstated. You know, should be reinstated. Can be interpreted both ways. It depends how you look at it and from what angle are you looking at. Yeah. It is evident that the investigation which led to the official's aid dismissal was not fairly instituted, and therefore the department should review the process followed to dismiss the official, or which led to the dismissal.
I'm with you there, and I'm happy with you there. I think the sentiment that the rest of the committee are trying to include here is the fact that this person has already been found guilty and paid the price. Now, normally, you're innocent until found guilty type of thing. This person is found guilty in what we consider to be a grossly flawed process. So I think that's the balancing act that I think members are saying, because we're all in agreement that, look, it has to be reviewed. But should we not be saying that? Or we could even put another paragraph. If we do it your way, it's fine. But there's nothing that would stop the committee from saying, we think that her dismissal, something to the words that she should not have been, or whatever the case might be, that she was innocent and that type of thing. Because I think what we are saying is, really, can she be condemned if those that were condemning her themselves were flawed? I think that is what we are asking. Because it's clear from all the hearings that this was a manipulated process. Now, you are saying she has the right to appeal it, it's fine, but we as the Oversight Committee, should we then be saying we strongly encourage her to appeal it? The question is, she's not ever going to get this thing because she's out of the system. Unless we physically write to her and say, look, you know, having looked at all these things, in our view, you should appeal. I think what we are trying to do is to get everybody to understand that this thing was flawed. It needs a review, as you are saying. But at the same time, somebody should not be unfairly prejudiced. The question that I'm asking, if after 6 months we find indeed this thing was flawed, she's been dismissed already today, not pending, and I have a problem with suspension, with full pay, you know it. But I'm just saying, do we then, when she comes back, do we then say, reinstate her because 6 months down the line, 6 months previously, she was done by, and we don't want to get into the technicalities of the labor law. We should just be trying to raise the, not the expectation, but raise the concern. And maybe clever people like Mr. Self will help us on this one. We're arguing law, Mr. Self, here. So I think that's what we're trying to say. But we're all in agreement. It's just
I've got also my sentiments is with this person, with a fraud. I'm dealing with it on a regular basis, fraud system, where it is preconceived already, predetermined what is the outcome going to be. So there's unfair processes in the system as well. But I just appeal that our wording should be of such a nature that it makes it possible for the department to execute it. This is only my only concern.
You know,
thanks.
This is my proposal. I said this is our view. And then somewhere we added another sentence that says, we are cognizant of the fact that we cannot instruct the department. So all these recommendations that we are making... Yes. What would be your last statement?
Because the department report to us. And we are the final editor before the ministry. Therefore, if you are using that sentence, I agree with you up to halfway, but don't put the last sentence. The last item of the sentence, please.
What I was trying to say, Baba Zobu, is that there's a separation of power in this country. Yeah. We can't go and micromanage the department. And that is what I'm trying to get at. So we can say all these things, but we should be saying somewhere that, look guys, we are aware of the fact that we do not want to micromanage you. And then they must come and say to us, indeed what you're doing is micromanaging, and let's have that debate. But I think we should be upfront that says we think this thing was wrong, we think this thing must be reversed, we think all those types of things. And we'll make a one sentence that says, having said all that, we do not want to...
That the LRA and whatever should be called the court. That's right. So, yeah, we can formulate it nicely and put it in there.
Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
All right.
So we're leaving it as it is. We're adding, just for the
record, so Sandy understands, we're adding, the committee is of the view that that's in between, therefore, and she should be dismissed, so that it doesn't seem as an instruction. We are of the view that it...
In the perspective of the information at our disposal, this committee is of the view
that the official was not treated fairly, and the department is hereby requested to review those other things which I already said, the process which led to the dismissal.
And then we'll add a paragraph of the fact that we don't micromanage. Are we happy with that? We are. Without necessarily diluting the recommendations that have been made. But I think that is it. It's about balancing what is here and making them aware that we don't want to, and we know that we can't micromanage them. It's about balance.
I just want to warn ourselves against something. That if we are going to, it is understood that we cannot really instruct the department. But if we are going to put that in the form, I know that it's not being considered now since we've sort of reached this compromise. But I don't think we should put that down in writing at any time. Because, Chairperson, as Portfolio Committee of Parliament, as an oversight body, we must be in a position to be able to tell the department that they have it teruggemaakt. Gemaakt het reg. Now, if we are going to say that, listen, we should not, we realize that we may not instruct you. I don't think we should do that, Chair. Leave that in the dark. And furthermore, Chair, leave that in the dark. And furthermore, Chairperson, just remember, I agree with what Advocate says that this issue should be reviewed. But I think the word, this issue or this matter must be reviewed, may sound a bit instructive, but I'm playing around with words. But I think should and must are, to my mind, two different things. Must be reviewed. Please, sir. Thank you.
I don't know. We can do that. You know, my understanding is that this thing goes through the parliamentary legal processes and so on. I just don't know the situation where the chief whip stands up and says, we can't, as parliament, adopt this report because you are overstepping your mandate. Then it defeats everything that we are doing. That is why I'm saying I'd rather be safe. And it's not the end of the road, because when they come here as the department, we can always go back and say, my God, last week we were there, X, Y, and Z, to their faces. Yeah, but I just don't want them to throw the thing out and say, no, lentole, it is whatever. So if we can manage those two processes, then I'm happy. Okay. I'm just worried that the draft of that report, you show, you'll talk to all the legal people. You understand our sentiment. Don't dilute it, but don't unnecessarily disqualify it. Thank you very much. So, all right. Do we have
any more of this report? Is this one here?
Yeah.
Agatha? Yes. So we have another to come in. Could you? Yeah, but if you're going to do it for 5 minutes, then it's fine, because we really have got this guy. We don't have to fight. Okay, can we do Babbitt and we'll have to do a minute then?
Thank you, Chairperson. As I'm sick, I'm not staying at home. I decide to go and work. I went to Barbaton. So, fortunately, when I arrived there, they had a financial meeting. The region was there. So, the commissioner was informed that I was there. Fortunately, I visit the center frequently. I just going to go here and there because the department is outside. The violence break out. I'll start there. There was violent outbreak out Muslim Sea. The inmate took control of the prison. Firstly, because of the outbreak, to mention was related to food crisis. Food crisis, not that there's no food. Outsource food outside. This food is outsourced by the area commissioner outside the center. Barberton, please, now we've got farms, we've got everything, cows, everything, but it's outsourced. Now, this outsourced food comes late. And the inmates become very, very angry. They waited for food. Secondly, the underpants and said to be old, there is no uniform. Thirdly, medication. The problem started exactly with medication. They don't have full-time nurses. From Monday to Friday, they are there. There are only two. Saturday, Sunday, there are no nurses. If one inmate happened to be sick, a car must come out from the center and go to the township to look for one of these two nurses. If they don't find that one of the two nurses, hallelujah, unaluto. So when they went there, coming back, the nurse was not at home. And this inmate passed on in front of them. It's how the outbreak took place in Barberton. Not the report that we got here. Chairperson, I'm sorry, I'm not going to go further.
All right, we've got the report from Barberton. Are there any comments that we want to make on that report? Yes, sir.
Yes, Chair. I will suggest that to our next visit, let's go to Barberton.
Cindy's suggesting that she will take this report, summarize it into an official document like we did with the one with Barberton, and then we look at it when it's done in that session, because this is just a narration as it is here. She'll summarize it, and then we'll deal with it when we've got it in summarized form. Is that okay? All right, we will do that next week, this one, and all the minutes that we have today, it's about 5 sets of minutes, we will do that next week and get that out of the way. Thank you very much. Can we allow you a 2-minute break if you want a 2-minute break? Because the department is here, we'll start with the department. If you feel that you want to continue right away, we can do it. Otherwise, members, really, just 2 seconds will stand up, stretch, break, and get on to the next business. You are fresh already. Thanks. Thank you, department, and also apologies for keeping you back for a few minutes, but we were dealing with some of our oversight visits to your facilities. Hope we didn't interrupt your life too much. We have until 12:30. I don't know how much time you're planning. We have until 12:30. We have invited you to come and talk to us about the education opportunities in our facility. We had a discussion last year, I think, joined with the Department of Education. In your own report to us last week or so, you indicated that you've got 6 and you're going to build another 7 or that type of thing. So there's work being done. We just want to be brought up to speed. And we will also share with you some of our observations in our oversight visit, specifically around education. Okay. So we have received the
what do you call it, presentation from the department. Can we allow you, ma'am, after you've introduced your delegation, I'm assuming you're leading the delegation, after you've introduced your delegation, we'll give you about 45 minutes or so to do your report and we'll engage with it. Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Goeiemôre, meneer voorsitter. Baie dankie. My name is Nonsikelelo Jolingana. I'm the Chief Deputy Commissioner for Development and Care. On my left is Ms. Ntobeko Mkhetshane, who is the DC Personal Development. On my right is Mr. Billy, who is the Director of Formal Education. Next to Mkhetshane, we've got Mr. Monaheng, who is the Deputy Director of Skills Development. And next to her, we've got Mrs. Johnson, who is the ASD Formal Education. Also with us, we have the Acting Chief of Staff, Ms. Mamelo Morobi. We have DC Mbambo, who always attends these meetings. We also have Director Sonwabo Mbananga, who is the spokesperson to the Minister. Thank you, Chairperson. May I proceed straight? The presentation will give the status on Correctional Services School and also touch on issues of further education. In terms of opportunities that are given to offenders, the second slide, please. When offenders are admitted into correctional centers, it is expected that they must be assessed, and amongst others, their educational and training needs must also be determined through this process. A sentence plan is drafted in accordance with the needs of the offender. Obviously, the needs would go beyond issues of education and training, but that is the first step that will show us the level of education of this offender. In terms of the programs that we have as a department, we have a literacy program which focuses on those who cannot read and write. We have adult education and training for those who are not yet eligible for grades 10 to 12. We have a further education and training program, which is grade 10 to 12, and we emphasize this mainly for youth offenders. We have further education and training college programs, level 2 to 4, which focuses on engineering and business studies, N1 to N6. Occupational skills program and non-vocational programs. In terms of the higher education and training, we support offenders who want to study further at higher institutions of learning through distance education, and we have many of them who are registered, particularly with UNISA. And I must upfront say that by support, I do not mean that we pay for them. We only offer education up to grade 12, and if an offender needs to go beyond that, the offender's family will have to step in, or other sources of financial support would have to step in to support the offender to further their studies. In terms of formal education programs, I think I should mention, Chairperson, that there's a process that is underway between the Department of Education and the Department of Correctional Services to focus on the outcomes as indicated in the delivery agreement, outcome 1 and outcome 5. As the Department of Correctional Services, we've given our inputs, which are now being considered by the Department of Education for refinement, and then after that, the ministers will then sign the delivery agreement in terms of these outcomes. In terms of participation in pre-APET programs, we've got 2,994
offenders. In terms of adult education programs, we've got 11,132. In terms of further education programs, we have 2,031. In terms of formal schooling by young people, it's 3,412. As mentioned, the full-time schools currently are Usethubeni, St. Albans, Craydock, Mthonjeni, Barberton Youth Center, and Barberton Maxima. Of these six, we have two centers where we currently have grade 12 or matriculants, and those are Usethubeni and St. Albans, and currently for this year, we've got 52 offenders that are currently sitting for their matric exam. In terms of skills development programs, as I mentioned, we have FET college programs, which is your national certificate vocational. We've got 1,700 offenders participating, engineering studies, 996. Business studies, N1 to N6, 1,012. We have seen an increase by an average of 264 offenders as compared to participation of offenders in August. And I'm saying we've seen this increase during the month of September. And this was because there were new offenders that registered during the third quarter for engineering studies, as these are normally 3 months programs. The participation of offenders in these programs will fluctuate due to the fact that some are quarterly programs, some are semester programs. As I mentioned, the engineering studies would be a quarterly program, while the business studies is a semester program, 6 months program. And again, I must emphasize, Chairperson and Honorable Members, that participation is not yet compulsory. So we rely on motivating offenders and encouraging them to participate in this program. We also have other programs that include entrepreneurial training, where we have 260 offenders participating. We have vocational skills programs, 455. We have computer skills programs, 1,121. We have basic occupational skills program, 2,500. There's a note that has been put on that slide that indicates that there's a decrease in number of offenders participating in skills program by an average of 82 as compared to participation of offenders in August. I just need to explain that the usage of the word decrease might be misleading. We're trying to explain that there are 82 offenders that have exited the program, not because it's a decline, but because they've completed the program. In terms of policy, for us to be able to register a school as a full-time school, the center must be in a position of the Education Management Information System with all applicable school policies that are applicable in your normal school. For example, you need to have your language policy in place, you need to have your admission policy, you need to have your policy that would recognize the different religions and ensure that there's not discrimination because of people's beliefs and faith. You have to have adequate classroom space so that you are able to cater for the various streams that are to be offered. You must have your subject specialist, or if you are, for example, teaching grade 10 to 12, you must have specialists that would teach the different subjects. You must have your timetable that would indicate as we said, and this mentioned. And again, before we register them, we must make sure that those things that I mentioned in the previous slide are in place. In terms of NCV centers, we are having the centers that are listed offering those programs that we also referred to in the beginning. And I'm not going to mention all those centers because it's just the names of the centers. Members would know that through your visit, the issue of OSD for educators in particular has been raised maybe on several occasions. In terms of the Educators Labor Relations Council Agreement 1 of 2008, salary scales of educators were supposed to be improved by 4%, after which there would have to be a further adjustment as agreed upon in terms of Agreement 4 of 2009, and this would then be effected taking into consideration the recognition of experience, which would allow a person to get a notch increment for every 3 years worked, the categorization of certain educators as senior or master educators, depending on their experience and expertise, which would then translate to a once-off payment of 3% of their annual notch as of the 1st of July 2009. Now, in terms of our department, there's also the payment of salary progression of 1% for the year 2008-09, which would affect all other subsequent salary progressions payable to educators with effect from that time. Now, in terms of our situation in DCS, our educators have received the 4% salary adjustment, as well as the 1% pay progression, the one of 2008-09. Other provisions that are stated in terms of the Agreement 4 of 2009 have not yet been extended to our educators, and this is what then creates a disparity between educators working for correctional services and educators that are working for the Department of Education. We are trying to discuss this with the DPSA because DPSA said this is only applicable to educators who are within the Department of Basic Education. And they say that if we want to argue that further, the matter should then be referred to the bargaining chamber for a resolution. We have a project manager that is focusing on this to make sure that we deal with that, because if we don't, we will then continue to lose educators within the employ of correctional services to the Department of Education. There is a mandate document that has been crafted for approval of our minister to enable her to engage the minister of DPSA to make sure that the conditions of service for educators in correctional services are consistent with those in the public service in general. Chairperson, that would be the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It was brief, it was precise. I will allow members then to engage with what you've given us, as well as our own observations. But just to say, ma'am, from my side, and I'm not going to take my turn now, you mentioned something, and I think I must say from the offset, that these things are not compulsory yet. Now, the President, in the State of the Nation address, laid out education as one of government's priorities. He laid out job creation as one of government's priorities. Not willing or not willing, those are government priorities. Compulsory education is a given in
outside there. There's no kid that doesn't go there. So I have a problem, personally, when we can here in this facility allow people the latitude to choose. I have a problem. I'm just registering it. Because government policy says education, it says job creation, and it is happening outside. I don't know why we're being soft on people inside here. Our view as the department, as the committee, has been no work, no school, no parole. That's what we are saying. So if you are going to enforce no work, no school, no parole, then a choice of whether you want to participate or not falls away. And I think this is what you guys should be saying. That if you are not at work, if you are not at school, we can't consider you for parole positively. We'll consider you, but you will not get a positive result for it. And when we send that message, because it reconciles with the government priorities of education, of jobs. If it's happening for the rest of South Africa, these 165,000 people must also be subjected to it. I just wanted to raise that up front so that you guys understand that that is our position. No work, no school, no parole. I break a choke. No, this is very interesting. Let's take it. we'll take it in the order of Mr. Self. We'll just go down the line. Self, and then Advocat, and then Mam Gwenya. Then we'll take Abraham, then we'll take Makagula.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks for the presentation. The first question I'd just like to ask for clarity purposes. Well, incidentally, Chair, I absolutely agree with your observation about this. Not only is it policy, it's also in terms of the law. The South African Schools Act requirement that people under a certain age must be full-time in school. So, and I remember asking the question some years ago where the department was not yet compliant with the South African Schools Act. And I'd just like to know what progress is being made in that respect. But over and above that, just as a matter of clarity, there are 6 centres registered at the moment. There are further 7 that are going to be registered. Now, I might be getting it wrong, but I think most if not all of these cater for males. What is the situation regarding female learners and schools for female learners? Because I remember going to Polesmore once, and girls complaining that they got very, very inadequate training, schooling, and it was in fact almost non-existent. The second question that I'd like to ask relates to the qualification of what you call subject master specialists and or later called senior and master educators. I'm unfamiliar with these grades. I mean, I understand what happens in a school where you get, you know, post-level 1 teachers, and you get the head of department teachers, and you get deputy principals and then principals, and they're all on a particular rank, and they get particular salaries, and they have to have particular qualifications. What is the equivalent in the department? And thirdly, what is the relationship with the provincial departments of education? Because it would seem to me that if you've got a need and perhaps you don't have the ability yet within the department to provide educative services, what steps are being taken to forge a relationship with the provincial departments of education in order to fill gaps? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm going to request your permission that members of the team should also feel free to jump in and answer other questions. But in terms of your comment, we agree, Chairperson. When the minister launched Operation Funda this year, she made it very clear that if it was her choice and a decision that she could make immediately, she would say that education in correctional centers is compulsory. But because we live in a country where our offenders seem to know and understand
their rights more than their responsibilities. If we force an offender to do anything which is not legislated within correctional services, that offender will take us to court and challenge us and all that. That is why we are currently working on a policy that would make sure that schooling indeed is compulsory for offenders that are of a certain age, the same age as it is outside. So on that one, we agree fully that these young people that are sitting behind bars must be exposed to education with or without their willingness to do so. They must be encouraged and forced to do so. We agree on that. And yes, Honorable Member, the 6 centers are unfortunately male centers. There is currently no female center that is registered as a full-time school, and it's an issue that we really have to look into as a department so that we make sure that as we go forward, we also include the issue of female centers. Female offenders are exposed to other programs like the ones that I mentioned, your computer programs, these other short-term programs, but it is a fact that in terms of full-time schools, your grade 10 to 12, the female offenders are not having a school in any of our centers. I will ask the colleague on my right to address the issue of the Schools Act and also the qualification of the trainer.
Thank you, Honourable Member. As the CDC has indicated, in terms of the Southern Schools Act, we have actually reviewed our current policy. Basically, we were waiting for the approval of the regulation in terms of legislating that, because while using, you know, section, I think section 41.6 of the Act in conjunction with the reviewed regulation, so that at least in terms of on legal grounds, we are at least protected so that we don't force people that don't want to. So according to our knowledge, by end of this month, it's most likely the regulations will be approved. As soon as that happens, we shall then route the policy for approval of the minister, which compels all offenders up to all youth up to age of 25 to attend school. So that's on the way. In terms of the distinction between master and senior educators, basically, a senior educator would in a normal school outside would be like a head of department. It's a salary level 8. And a master educator would be someone who's a salary level 9. But in terms of Resolution 5, ELRC Resolution 5 of 2006, those people should have progressed by grade as from the 1st of July 2005 to these levels. But we do know that this process is not yet perfected within the Department of Education. But we felt, you know, at least because we are far behind in terms of implementing the whole OECD dispensation to our educators, let's be proactive and also include this in the mandate document that will be sent to the Minister of DPC. As for the relationships with the provincial education departments here, we are actually, in most of the provincial departments, we are actually working together with them. All our regional coordinators are working. For instance, the issue of accreditation of a center to be a full-time school takes place through that provincial office. And it doesn't take place from national office, you know, either between our national office and the Department of Basic Education nationally. It takes place at provincial level. So that whole transaction takes place at that level. E.g., for instance, in some of the regions, because of this interaction that we have with certain departments, provincial departments, in some of the provinces, for instance, the Department of Higher Education Training has deployed adult basic education teachers. In Eastern Cape, for instance, you know, it's taking place in Children's Ed as well as here in Limpopo. So even in terms of training of ECD practitioners, they were trained, you know, under the office and paid for by, you know, certain provincial departments, for instance, they trained and paid for a stipend we have this continuous interaction with all the procurement departments. Thanks, Chair.
I would really appreciate if the department could perhaps revert to us with plans to extend formal education to girl offenders, because I mean we're talking about a plan that takes us all the way through to 2014 and misses girls completely, and I think there's a mistake there somewhere.
Thank you, Chair. My question is partly answered now. My follow-up question is just to pay clarity. And that speaks to what the Chair already said and also added by Honourable Member Self. With regards to your regulations which you envisage to use to compel offenders to participate in terms of the school act, now my question is that if the act of this DCS give offenders an option and your regulations to force or to compel them is in conflict with the Act. Remember, the regulations is inferior to the Act. And the Act came, in certain circumstances, allow or request the Commissioner, empower the Commissioner to develop regulations, but not in conflict with the Act. You understand? So my question is, how does this regulation speak to the Act to overcome that particular burden? Because it's actually a must. We cannot actually compromise on this principle because it contributes to reintegration in our communities, to prepare them for reintegration. But I just want to know, if there's a problem, how do you people think? Because officials just execute terms of regulations and the Act. You don't change it, it's our duty. So if there's a conflict of interest there, a conflict, and it needs to be reviewed in terms of law, how do you think should we contribute and assist you to overcome this burden? Thanks.
Chairperson, yes, that would be the challenge, and that would be something that then compels us to request for an amendment of the Act to allow us to be able to implement. So it would require support politically, it would require support in Parliament.
You get the message that we will support it 100%. I'm saying you're getting that message. I had noted Ngwenya, but we'll come back to you, Mamnanda. Ngwenya.
Thank you, Chairperson. Also, thank you for the presentation. Chair, with regard to the skills development on the presentation, I want to know that how does each program take? Yes. And the presentation indicated that in order for the center to be registered as a full-time school, there should be adequate classrooms available to cater for favorite subject teams. What is the minimum number of the classes required? And the presentation also, Chair, indicates that there are 7 additional correctional centers in the process of registering a full-time school between 2012 and 2014. What is the outstanding requirement needed for each of the 7 centers to be registered as a full-time school? Chair, in terms of the recommendation, out of the presentation again, on the inmate that have finished the form of grade 12, I mean, say, form 1.3. So, I would like to recommend a chair. Chairperson, I would like to recommend that yes, it's true what the department is saying. Even the community outside can complain if really a person okay dealer low from 12 lawyer very 12. And after that, people who go outside looking for that, to assist this inmate to go outside, they are covered with people that they can. Meanwhile, we in La Pangapande, Agana, you demand, you covered La Pangapande, and I have told you, Cesar, who follow Amabanjo La Pangapande. So I agree with the department, the UTA. Kubalulekile ukuthi uma ibanja liqede lo grade 12 wayo bafocus kuma-skills ikakhulu uma ngabe-ke kuyenzeka ukuthi ufuna uqhubekela ngey'fundo zakhe phambili let the family involve nayo and assist because really I don't think if we can do more than that we'll be making justice to our community. Chairperson, another thing maybe that we need to debate is the inmates that have got a parole. You remember when we go to oversight most of the centers this year, Kusona, you'll find that an inmate is doing that grade 12 and he or she is about to get a parole and to write also the exam. And you'll find that a song is cut a ball, a food, and a funnel, which a ball is going to be wasted if ever, if I can say it to them and funnel a part. I think that's why we need to debate it. In terms of the classes, really, we need to, the department needs to do something immediately, because when we go to oversight, we find that there are schools but no proper classes, no libraries, no stationers. So I think that one, Chairperson, the department need to make sure that they make those things to be there, because if we go to oversight again and find that there's no classes that are on place, we are not going to do, we are not doing justice if ever we are not, we are not going to make sure that the department yenza ukuthi lama stationery abe khona, le library ibe khona, na lama class lana abe khona. I remember in one of the centers, they were reading in some of the patches, ebukeka like it was built for the visit of the people. But they were putting desks inside there, so that the inmates, they must have a school there. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of how long does each program take, the NCV program is an annual program which takes a year. Engineering studies, it's the 3 months program, and business studies, we've got programs of 6 months. There are other programs which could range from, you know, a person attending a 6 week program, a skills program, and obtain a certificate, but the ones I mentioned are the main. In terms of the minimum number of classrooms that are required, the Department of Education tells us that we must have a minimum of 5 classrooms. Yes. Which sometimes becomes very difficult because our centers were never built for that purpose. So we have to look at various ways of improvising. Sometimes we even use the very dining hall that inmates are using for meals. After meals, it becomes a classroom, and again in the afternoon, it becomes a recreation hall. So there are those realities that we are facing on the ground, but their minimum requirement is that we must have at least 5 classrooms for them to say this is a full In terms of the outstanding, the seven, Chairperson, I won't have details of each to say that in this one they still need this and that. That is the information that we can provide in writing to the portfolio committee, but we still have to assist them to meet the requirements. Some of them may be teachers. For example, if I can make the example of Kimberley. In Kimberley, we don't have educators, and over this weekend, we've advertised quite a number of positions for educators so that we get ready to start with Kimberley in the beginning of the academic year. So their challenges would differ, and we can be able to provide that later to the committee. In terms of those that are due for parole, it's a reality that we are confronted with. In Durban Westville, for example, at our full-time school, last year we had managed to convince two young people who were about to write matric to say to them, although you've been given your date, although we allow you to go because we can't keep you at ransom, but can't you please just write your exams? And then immediately you finish your exams, you can go home. And we succeeded with those two. But again, currently, it's something that you cannot force. You just have to reason with this child, call the parent in, make the parents understand, and you negotiate with the child to complete. But yes, there are those who were released just before exams and never wrote those exams. And yes, it becomes an issue that you've invested maybe 8 months of schooling on this person, and then come the time for exam, the person gets released, you can't hold them at ransom, you can't force them. So it's another issue, yes, which needs a debate, but also as we go forward regulating compulsory education, it's another issue that we have to look into to say that as a condition for parole, if you're studying and you're doing your grade 12, you must write your exams at least before you can be allowed to go home. The issue of stationery in some of the centers is the reality, Chairperson, that we can't deny. We work with other partners in trying to support us to have sufficient learner support material. We recently had a donation in Devon, in our full-time school, of net material because we were having a challenge in terms of ensuring that our learners have sufficient resources. So whilst we acknowledge, because we have acknowledged as a department to say that in terms of the budget of development and care, there are gaps that we have to address as a department. But whilst we are doing that, we also work with other stakeholders in the private sector to also assist us in donating learner support material. And we have been successful to a certain extent in terms of getting those donations. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, but I'm partly covered, but I've got one concern concerning the institution of higher learning through distance education. My concern is that the lesson from here is this inmate. He's got higher marks, qualified to be in UNISA, but no parents who will further take him further. What do we do? Because in our department, we've got bursaries. Yes, he's still in a center, but the bursaries are all departments having the bursaries. Can't we propose that such people, we can't just leave them because They don't have parents to feather them, but they are still in the centers. Our kids outside, some of them they go to varsity through the bursaries. Or the way she's saying it, that for instance, like DPSA, whoever can assist. Maybe we'll be losing a future leader, a future scientist, a future math person. That's a proposal, Jefferson. Thank you.
I'm not sure you want to respond to it because it's political. I think we would have to discuss it because you're saying it's as a proposal. And I think it's us that should be making those proposals. But if you want to comment on it, you can comment. And otherwise, you can leave it with us. We will certainly mull about it and introduce it. Is that fine, Mamia? That we discuss it at the political level. Yes, sir? Yes?
Thank you, sir. I can just comment that, again, we try to partner with certain people in the private or business sector to try and support that. We have a relationship with the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants, where when we've identified our best electric results, we then, if they are interested in studying in that field, the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants has in the past funded those. We have on record 12 offenders that have been funded through that program, and they were not studying with UNISA. They were studying with the Nelson Mandela Metropole University. So that's so far, that's the only thing we can do as a department, to try and facilitate with the private sector to say, can you support? And sometimes we get successful, sometimes we don't. Jefferson, I think here we are contradicting ourselves. We said even if we can look for those sponsors and whatever, for those inmates that have finished their matric, we will not making a justice to the community outside. Because I was saying this because I know that we can do that, but we need to remember that here we are dealing with people that have commit a crime and make problems, for make a mess to our community. Therefore, we don't have to go so far. We can even look for the sponsors from outside for them, because if you are working with the inmate, sana you are working with Ebanjwa. Ibanjwa then masika la panali eba food, yama computer and all that. Therefore, we're going to have a bad name as correctional center, correctional service. Ukuthi sizwela amabanzi ngale ndlela ukuthi sibafunela namabhazari. And basike bangaziphathi kakuhle pha. Aphinde abuye futhi azela ngaphakathi, kanti thina sithi silungisa izimilo. That's why we can debate it, but I personally, Chairperson, I don't agree about the department to go and look for the sponsor for the inmate. Meanwhile, we is outside, doesn't have parents, doesn't have anyone to look for the bazaar for yena. But Tina, sisi sizobafunela. Once I cut the subject, from trans law or whatever, he must go to the skills, afundi waka matakula, whatever, uzaphuma ngaphandle ayofundisa emayunisa. I don't agree with everything, because community, really, if we can take this debate outside, we are not going to win. Thank you.
When I said, Kuti, we must not discuss this thing, we must discuss it politically. Because it's not the department that is differing, it's the two of you that are differing on this matter. So, no, we will discuss it, I agree. Both viewpoints
can be put on the table, but let's discuss it internally here. Because it's politicians that are differing on what should be happening on this one. So stay out of it, Mark. Stay out of it.
Meneer Abraham. Baie dankie, voorzitter, en baie dankie, meneer Jolingana. Chairperson, I took note of some of the responses. Unfortunately, they evoke some other questions. Now, when you say, Mayor Jolingana, that the requirement is by basic education or whichever authority that there should be a minimum of 5 classrooms per institution, wherever you have these schools. Now, Chairperson, what I would like to find out is that at the current 6 centers that are registered as full-time schools, how many classrooms do you have in each of those centers? And how many teachers do you have in each of those centers? I've taken into account what you had stated about the norms that are set by the powers that be with regard to salary scales and things like that. So that's a challenge. Secondly, Chairperson, the grades that you offer in these schools, do you only offer, for example, from 8 to 10 or only certain 8 to 12 or only certain other grades? If you could give us a response to that. Then, Chairperson, you have listed in the presentation 4 regions where these schools are currently operative. Does this mean that there is no schooling facility in any of the other regions, the other 5 regions in the country? Chairperson, I took note of Mia Jolingana talking about inmates knowing what their rights are, but very little about what their responsibilities should be. Now, the causes that I have noted here in the presentation do not to talk to some of the causes for which there is a dire need in the country, and where even a person who may not be very literate could be trained in a trade. For example, your plumbers, your electricians, you need to have some literacy, but those are trades where people can actually come by. And if you take the institutions themselves, all the centers, you know, there's a word I love to hate, and that is service provider. We've always contracted things out to a service provider. Things, ordinary things like painting a place out, cleaning a place out, service provider must come and do it at huge cost. I believe, Chairperson, that one can create opportunities, and perhaps you may not have the responses now, handymen, things like that, but what are we doing to create those skills for which there is a ready market? If the person leaves the center, there is a market. Secondly, whilst the person is in the center, whilst the person is being trained, there are possibilities that the services can be utilized inside the center. And there it brings me to another question, and that is that there must also be some or other incentive for the inmate. For example, if you are going to make use of the inmate services in-house, there should be some or other way of compensating that inmate so that you build up a little balance for that person the day that person leaves the service. The institution, that person has something with which that person can start life again. We need to look at that very seriously. The whole parole regime, Chairperson, to my mind, requires an overhaul. For example, you have stated earlier that you cannot compel anybody to study or to take on any course. But you know, I believe that a carrot and stick approach can actually get people to understand that while this may be my right, that if I don't wish to study, you can't compel me. But if that person is sort of spoken to, and the person person understands that if I am going to get some or other training in here and I have a qualification, it will help me to obtain an earlier parole, or it will count in my favor or whatever. Don't you think that sort of regime should seriously be considered and be looked at? Finally, Chairperson, in your estimation or guesstimation, how many offenders in the correctional facilities are not involved in any rehabilitative program at all? That will tell us a big story. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, may I please request to provide the information that talks to the number of classrooms per school and the number of teachers per school in writing. I don't have that with me now. Safe to say that, as I said, because of the challenges of OSD, our numbers of teachers do fluctuate, but I can be able to provide that in writing. We offer grade 10 to 12 chapters in terms of the ministry. In terms of the trade training, we have a relationship with the Department of Higher Education and Training, and they have allocated to us an amount of 66 million that will assist in training offenders on programs, if I can read just a few, on welding and related skills, building and related skills, electrical, motor mechanic, textile, food, wood, agriculture, business and computer, which is something that is over and above what I had presented. But this information we can also submit to the committee in writing, because we have that information. Every offender that is involved in some type of work, whether they work internally or whether they are taken to go and build something, every offender that is involved in some type of work does get the gratuity as a form of an incentive for them to be involved. Can I also request to come back on the last question of how many offenders are not engaged in anything at all? I would request to come back on that one, Chairperson, because over and above the training and education and the work, offenders are also involved in programs that are targeting the offending behavior, which are your corrections programs, which are not catered for in this presentation. So one would then have to check what is it that this offender, what is the offender doing? Is the offender engaged in any program at all, or the offender is yet in the category? We would have to come back on that with the hope that there's not yet in there.
Chair, I would just like to ask, with regard to the educators, now I realize that any person who has a career and is still far below the retirement age will look at the financial benefits. I mean, it's human. But you have many retirees, many people, many are younger than me, of course, you know. Those that are my age and over are cuckoos already. But you have such people whom you can recruit, who would be willing to do a sort of a community service. They are on retirement, they are earning a pension, and they have a couple of years to give. Have you perhaps looked at that particular possibility? The same applies also to the people that you are going to try and train as a result of this amount of 66 million that higher education has given you, where you can get retired people, because you're going to be faced with the same challenge. I mean, young people are not going to come. for as long as that dispensation does not sort of give them the same benefits as they would have received at any other state institution. So you should actually pursue that particular avenue to try and get the necessary material so that the work can carry on. Finally, Chairperson, with regard to Kimberley that you have been referring to, are you referring to the new Chwelopele center, or are you referring to the old Kimberley? And then you've got two names here which I don't really know where they are situated. That's Usetubeni and Mtongeni. If you could just tell us which is the nearest town or city to them, and the additional schools, you've got Ekuseni. Where is that one? Kalakabusha, I know where it is, fortunately. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on the first one of exploring the possibility of using retired educators, I must be honest, we have not explored that. We will take it, Chairperson, as a suggestion and something that we should explore. The Tubeni is in KZN. Where is it? At the back. Mtongeni is also in KZN. Newcastle. Kimberley, yes, Chairperson, it's well of it. I apologize. We must still get used to well of it. The other one? Ekuseni is in Newcastle, Chairperson, also in KZN.
Kimberley's chair, which one is it?
The new one, sir. Yes, that's one of the. Yes, sir.
Can I just ask a follow up around skills chain? When I went to Malmesbury on one occasion, they have at the back of Malmesbury, as you know, you have a whole lot of workshops. And there was one class going on there for motor mechanics. And it had exactly 12 people around a car, and then the rest of this vast workshop was empty. And then I asked the person, all right, now why can't you have 48 people or 60 people doing the same thing at the same time? No, they said it's a shortage of trainers from the Department of Labor. So in exactly the same way as I asked, what is the relationship with the provincial Department of Education? What is the hold-up with the Department of Labor in terms of rolling out skills training?
Yes, Chairperson. The problem becomes the shortage of trainers from the Department of Labor. Another problem is also the shortage of artisans from the Department of Correctional Services itself. We are currently looking at the OSD for artisans within Correctional Services because we during the implementation of the OSD, we saw many of our artisans migrating to a salary of a correctional services worker because that salary was better than the salary of the artisan. We are now looking at a proposal where we are saying that OSD should be the same so that you have enough people that are working in
that we are now doing with the Department of Higher Education through the National Skills Fund. We are also looking at the trainers, because that is our biggest challenge. We may have the space and the offenders, but we don't have the trainers. So we are looking at that to say, how can the Department of Higher Education also support us, so that we don't only rely on the Department of Labor. Because the challenge is, if you get borrowed a trainer, when that person has a shortage in their own backyard, when their own trainer resigns, the first target is yourself, because the trainer that you have is on loan. So the first thing they do is to withdraw that person to go and fix another program that they are running. So we are looking at the situation where we are saying, through the National Skills Fund, if a trainer is allocated to us, that trainer is allocated to us. That trainer cannot be withdrawn any time there's a shortage somewhere. So those are the real challenges that we are facing.
You wanted, was it the time when we were having our internal fight? Okay, Babazov.
No, thanks, Chair. It's just a follow-up on classes. When we were at Durban West Green, I just said, oh, firstly, is it Mthongeni or Mthunjeni that's supposed to be G, not J, not G? Yes. Okay. When we were at Devon Westfield, I'm asking this question. You may do the follow-up. We may do the answer now, Chairperson, through you. But we had a problem of classes there. And if you said that the requirement is 5 classrooms per center and so on, it seems that if a Devon Westfield will have a problem, a very big problem, because when maybe there were 2 classes, which I may call classes, but the others were just a passage. There were no classes at all. Therefore, I will really, really request that the department look at that. And if there is an improvement on that, I will really request that. Thanks, Chair.
Yes, Chairperson, we do have a challenge of classes at Mthunjeni, more so because also the number of young people that are schooling there. We proposed to the Department of Public Works to assist us, even if it's through prefect classes, but that was not approved. So we are still trying to pursue other options. We've identified accommodation within Westville that was previously used for offices of parole board. In fact, it's supposed to be part of the school, but because the parole board did not have space, they were put there. But now the offices of the parole board have been built, and we are moving the parole board out of that space to create more space for the school. But yes, we do have a challenge of classes, and we were even suggesting temporary measures of feeding prefects and so on. But we're also reliant on the Department of Public Works for such things.
That's my 2 cents worth, if I started what Baba Ngovu started with. You know, it's not just the provision of classrooms, it's the quality of classrooms. In Durban, it was literally raining. So if it's not conducive to learning and teaching, then don't just give them a classroom because you need 5. But it must be a place that is conducive to learning and training across all over. Because we know the one in Durban Westville, one of them at least, it was a risk. It probably would fall onto one of the kids one of these days in terms of the infrastructure. Just 2 questions from my side, and I'm surprised my colleagues didn't raise them, but let me raise them. The remand detainees, we are saying they must be there for 2 years maximum. So I go in when I'm in grade 10, and I'm there for 2 years.
what happens to me? Does it mean that I'm missing those 2 years? Because, I mean, there's a possibility or a potential of those kids also doing what somebody else is doing. Now, I know this thing about he's not sentenced yet and whatever, but I'm just saying, the reality is that if I'm there for 2 years, am I lost to society? What do we do with demand detainees around education? And I think that we have to move beyond saying, well, he is innocent until proven guilty, because we have him in our center. If you don't have an answer, I think we need to start that discussion. The argument of he's innocent until he's proven guilty would then also apply if he is sick, for instance. Why must, if you take Mamwini's argument, why must the state pay for him because he's innocent when he's sick, so must his parents pay for him? I just think that we need to move beyond, especially with remand detention. I don't know what we have in our regulations, but it's now becoming clearer that we need to look at these things. You can't have a kid sitting there for 2 years, and just because he's not yet answered, he's not at school or at work. Maybe you don't have to answer it. If you have answers, it's fine, but take it away with you. We'll start the discussion. The one issue that I really wanted to raise was on your slide 5, you say every centre must be in possession of education management information system. We had your IT here last week. You know that, no? Yeah. Let me not continue. We had your IT. If they need this thing here, in the state that our IT is in now, we are wasting their time, we are wasting our own time. And I'm not raising it with you, I'm raising it because those that must take decisions on fixing up our IT have to do that urgently. It affects everything in our thing, even your education. Can't work if you don't have an IT thing. So all of us, from your side, from our side, Mamelo's gone out, Brasam, everybody. You need to indicate, if we don't fix up IT, all these things that you're giving us here are a pipe dream, madam. It's a pipe dream. I would rather take all our budget that we have somewhere else for cars. Let's fix up the IT system, and then all these other things we're talking about, whether it is rehabilitation or anything else, then becomes possible because it's a platform. So I'm just raising it, and I need you to go back and say that is our concern. That you're not going to get this EMIS or whatever it is until we fix up our IT. Yes, Mr. Abraham, is there anybody else? You want to respond? Yes, ma'am, and then we will take a last round if there's any, otherwise we'll wrap up the process. Thanks, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not responding on the last one. The one of remand detainees, I agree, is a matter that has to be discussed. But in a situation where a person is arrested whilst they have already registered for grade 12 specifically, we do allow them to write the exam under our supervision. We arrange for the exam papers and we allow them to write. But yes, the one that's in grade 11 or grade 10 does miss the 2 years if it happens that the way awaiting trial for that period.
Further questions in Boxburg, ma'am? On our oversight visit, we asked, I think, 3 of those young boys. Why, where were you? No, we stole the gate or something. Where were you? I was at school. What are they saying at school? The school doesn't know that he's been arrested. You don't know that he's been at school. So I'm saying there are those gaps that are there also. You're saying it's compulsory, or you allow them. I just think we need to put into place a system that we can identify them. You might allow them, but I'm sure there are centers where you don't even know that this somebody was busy with his matric. So to have him, to say he's been allowed, or he's allowed to do it, but we don't even know which is that's the one, it doesn't help us. So I'm just saying that we would need to tighten up on those things. How do we, at your assessment or at your intake level, I think you just need to find out. Maybe they would lie that they're not at school, but I think that's a gap that you guys should be looking at. Last round, can we have indications of anybody that wants to say something? Let's start with Marco Gula, if he hasn't spoken, then we'll go to Abraham. And then those will be the last two, and we will wrap it up.
Mnr. Baba Makakul.
Niyabonga sihlalo. Angathi ukuthi ngizowuthi ngoba ngifunde iloyali. Iloyali nile yokuthi I'm going to cap the water, that's why I got the situruturu. I'm going to buy a medicine of killing the mvuzulwane. I'm buying a million, I'm trying to wonder myself. That kind of a loyal that I learned. So, here. I'm coming, Babu Dovu. Here, you speak about the FET. You speak about the engineer. You know, once you speak about the engineer, I take it very serious. That person is an engineer. Then you said the student, those who want to go to the teacher level or universities, you don't cater for them. We don't cater for them. You don't cater for them as a department, and then he must get his own money or fees to go out. Then the question is, to me, this FET engineering, it also a tertiary, it's also something that you did when you already passed your matric. No matter you use the N word, but you do it when you pass your matric. And when you count that your program of the FET is 2031, and then you mean that all those people have not been paid by the department, they paid by themselves. Or those who did the engineering. There are many, 900 and something. They did the engineering. And you said you don't cater for this the student in the university. But what about those who are doing the engineers in the FET level? Maybe you caught me wrong. I told you before that I learned a lawyer from long time ago. So it's only that here.
Thank you, Jefferson. The engineering studies that we offer, the requirement for entry into that program is a grade 9. Or at level 4. So it's not the tertiary qualification equivalent, it's an equivalent of a lower level.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, regarding the issue of classrooms, I think this is becoming a burning issue. You mentioned, Chair, that yes, the environment within which one is taught is as equally important as the quality of the curriculum or whatever. Now, Chairperson, I would just like to throw something in the ring. I don't know what the regulations say. But Mayor Jolingana mentioned that they approached Public Works. And it seems that there is nothing in the offing, if I understood her correctly. She was even prepared to take a ramshackle asbestos building or whatever. What I would like to find out, Chair, is we have not used inmate labor in construction work. What are the chances of us being able to use inmate labor in putting up such classrooms? Does your procurement regulations permit you to do that? If it doesn't, tell us so that we must find a way around it, to change it. Because, Chairperson, we cannot have a situation where we have thousands of people who have the potential to be educated that cannot be educated because we don't have the facility to educate them. I think that constitutionally, Chair, it is incumbent upon us to see that we make those facilities available. And we must perhaps then cut down on frills somewhere else and see that we provide this kind of funding to do so. So if it cannot be done by using inmate labor, supervised, of course, by people that know the game, because basically you're talking of four-walled units. It is, you don't actually need a rocket scientist to put them up. Our people, given the opportunity, they can put you up a beautiful home. Go to the Mokokus where they have the right to the land. You'll see the Mokoku removed and you'll see a house going up. So Chairperson, let us look at those issues and see in what way can we do it. And Mayor Jolingana, who I appear to think is very dedicated to her task with her team, must look at other avenues, alternative avenues of how these things can be accomplished. If you are on the ground, you know better than us. We may theorize. But I think, Chairperson, we must look at every avenue to see that we can do this. And the word impossible should belong in the dictionary of fools. And the old English adage, necessity is the mother of invention. We need to find ways and means of doing something that is really necessary. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. We use the inmate labor mainly for the maintenance in some instances. For us to use them in building classrooms, we would still need the permission of public works. So yes, it's a matter that we need to pursue. Thanks.
Right. We'll allow you to round up from our side. Thank you very much. Our passing shot, ma'am, you know, you following up, I guess, from what Mr. Self and the committee has been saying earlier on, between right up to 2014, maybe you've not looked at it, I was just doing a math now. Up to 2014, you're not going to have a full-time centre in Limpopo if you follow this program. No full-time centre in Limpopo. I was trying to take, unless there's one in Limpopo that I haven't picked up here, you're not going to have a full-time centre in Limpopo. You've only got Boksburg in Gauteng. You've only got Groenpunt in the Free State. Maybe that's fine because Groenpunt is in Bloemfontein. But Boksburg is hardly the most populous place in Gauteng. No. Can I protect myself? Thank you. In Mpumalanga, you've only got Barberton. In northwest, you've only got Rustenburg. In Northern Cape, you've got Kimberley. Brantford is in the Western Cape, isn't it? And Eastern Cape, St. Albans and Craddock. And you've got 2-4 in KZN. I'm just raising this as something that you guys must consider because it means that as girl children will be deprived until 2014 unless you intervene, so will people in Limpopo be deprived unless you intervene. That is, if I'm reading it correctly. If I'm reading it wrong, please correct me, sir. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I think you actually get correct. I think as the CDC was actually presenting here, what is hampering some of the centers, you know, to be considered, going forward, are those prerequisites from the Department of Basic Education. Some of these pieces are basically, in terms of infrastructure, in terms of all these resources, are so far disadvantaged that it's a process. So these programs that are being marking here, we are actually working on these ones to help them to ensure that at least they have these resources to meet those prerequisites. But subsequent to that, we start looking to these other centers as well, e.g. In the Bombo, we had actually looked at Makato, but we saw that it has potential because it's got, you know, it has youth and also it's what we call a center of excellence. Then we started the process of actually trying to check what are their needs because we were prepared to finance that from our own funds. But unfortunately, you know, it's a structural matter within the department now. The other directorate facilities, they said, no, that's a matter, rather, that information, sort of us getting the process as a directorate. Let's give that information rather to them so that they can follow up. And apparently, in terms of how they function, they said, even then, it might be necessary to come from since I took one of the full-time schools, but it didn't have classrooms, only two classrooms. But then, unfortunately, there were structural, you know, handicaps sometimes that are within, that are inherent within the system, our system. Thanks, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Siyabonga Getina. Siyabonga Madoda and Omama for having come through and shared with us what you have. We'll continue to go on this because this is the never-ending campaign, a never-ending challenge that we'll have around education and those type of things. There are a few things that you had agreed to keep to us in writing. I'm sure that you have noted them. I'm sure Cindy has also noted them. She will remind you if we could get that in writing. And we'll continue holding thumbs that this particular one succeeds, because we can't have a situation where education fails and hope to break the cycle of recidivism in our centers. People go in there. I'll never forget the story. I was very new in this committee. I think an old man came in there and he said he went in not having been able to read. It's 10 or 15 years later, he still can't read or write. You know, very early in our life. 15 years of his life, he just sat there, couldn't read and write. It was a indictment on all of us as South Africans. So thank you very much, ma'am, with your team, and good luck going forward. From our side, that is the end of it, unless you want to say something, but from our side, that is it, ma'am. Thank you very much. Thanks. Meeting adjourned.